Well, U.S. President Barack Obama has unveiled an infrastructure plan aimed at helping to rebuild the American economy and create more jobs. The six-year plan involves the revamping of aging roads, railways, and airports with an initial $50 billion investment. Obama has called for the creation of a permanent infrastructure bank that will focus on funding national and regional projects. On Friday, the U.S. Labor Department announced that the American economy lost a further 54,000 jobs in August. That's a third straight monthly drop. The U.S. unemployment rate also rose to 9.6% from 9.5% in July. Obama said there is no silver bullet that can deal with the current economic situation.
So the problems facing working families, they're nothing new. But they are more serious than ever. And that makes our cause more urgent than ever.
U.S.-based activists are planning to fire a plane load of aid to Gaza in defiance of the Israeli siege of the coastal enclave. The California-based Free Palestine Movement has spent a year raising funds to charter the plane. One of the organizers say the flight is scheduled for next spring. He says the movement intends to send aid directly to the Palestinian territory. The group has been linked to the Gaza Freedom Flotilla, which set sail for the besieged strip in May. Israeli commandos attacked the flotilla in international waters, killing 9 Turkish peace activists.
Agriculture in Gaza has been hit hard by the Israeli siege and attacks. Now the government is trying new farming methods to boost food output. Press TV's Safa Judah has the details.
Once known for its fertile soil and rolling groves, the Gaza Strip is no longer the prime agricultural location it used to be. 43% of Gaza's agricultural land has been razed by Israeli bulldozers, while the Israeli buffer zone falls within the Palestinian side of the border with Israel. It eats up one-third of Gaza's arable land. Farmers like Abu Sa'id continue to cultivate their land, as they have done for decades. But for the past 4 years, it has been a challenge to say the least. Planting under constant Israeli threat and with very little water, since most wells and water began the Cold War in 2008.
We used to plant vegetables and fruits, and Gaza was like heaven on earth. Now we only plant wheat and rye, because they won't cost us a lot if Israel destroys the crops.
Years of closures and a ban on exports of produce has rendered agriculture an unprofitable business. The siege has prevented access to farming machinery, equipment, pesticides and fertilizers. The near destruction of the sector has led the Ministry of Agriculture to take measures in response. This culminated in the issuing of a 10-year plan called the Plan for 2020 to maximize the production of Gaza's remaining farmland.
Technically, we began working on the plan in 2006. We did not realize how important it was until Israel blocked all agricultural imports. The private sector, academics and specialists are working on the plan.
An integral component of the plan is creating a sector resistant to the siege. One such example is manufacturing organic fertilizer using agricultural and domestic waste, which has not only bypassed the Israeli ban on access to supplies, but also introduced organic farming in the coastal enclave. Another example is the adoption of natural pest management techniques in place of chemical pesticides.
Some 100 hectares have been fertilized under the method. It takes the basic needs of the sector into account and protects the quality of the soil and products, as well as water resources.
Already, organic farms are beginning to prosper, a local success story defying the ever-present threat of Israeli land-raising campaigns. And although implementation on a larger scale is obstructed by the loss of land to the buffer zone and the closing off of Gaza to trade, the move towards healthier, more environmentally safe methods of production just goes to show that necessity is indeed the mother of invention. Gaza may no longer boast plush landscapes stretching out as far as the eye can see, but under the plan for 2020, local initiatives will develop the productivity of the area's accessible lands to one day achieve agricultural self-sufficiency. Safa Judah, Press TV, Gaza.
Acting Palestinian Authority Chief Mahmoud Abbas has warned that he will walk away from direct talks with Israel if Tel Aviv fails to extend its partial settlement freeze later this month. Abbas says Palestinian negotiators will only keep talking through September if Israel extends its almost year-long partial moratorium on settlement activities. Abbas says he has informed U.S. and Israeli officials of his decision. Israel announced a partial halt to settlement activities on occupied Palestinian lands last November. But analysts say Tel Aviv never actually implemented the policy. They say Israel has continued to announce constructions of new settlement blocks across the occupied West Bank.
Avigdor Lieberman has announced that his hardline party is powerful enough to block any attempt to free settlement activities. Lieberman, who lives in a settlement himself, has also called for new construction in major West Bank settlements. Tel Aviv's freeze plan was put in place in November and is due to expire later this month. But as analysts believe, the fact on the ground is that Israel has never stopped its settlement activities.
As far as East Jerusalem goes, Israel wants it all, wants the entire city, east and west, Judaized. They want all Palestinians out. They want all valued parts of the West Bank to be Judaized.
This as direct talks between Israel and the Palestinian Authority resumed in Washington on Thursday with the aim of reaching a deal within a year. However, Lieberman brushed off the talks and said a comprehensive agreement is impossible within a year or even over the next generation. In fact, he's not the only person who's pessimistic about the Washington brokered negotiations.
There's a map, there's actually documents that what they really want and what they're seeking is from the Nile River to the Furat River. So any talks about peace or anything like that, I think it's all a charade. All what they want is to buy time. Nothing is going to happen. And Lieberman was actually frank about it. And he said it, you know, there's not going to be any peace. Not right now, not in the near future, not ever.
Acting Palestinian Authority Chief Mahmoud Abbas earlier threatened to withdraw from the talks if settlement construction carried on. The Palestinians and the international community say the settlements are obstacles to negotiations. Looking back on history, Israel initially occupied Palestine in 1948 and went on deeper into the Palestinian lands in 1967. The move led to international condemnation and UN resolutions calling on Israel to withdraw from the territories. Now the US, Israel and the Palestinian Authority are in talks over Israeli settlements, which have been continuously built on lands primarily belonging to the Palestinians. But no one talks about the Palestinian lands under occupation for over 60 years.
Four more protesters have been killed by security forces in Indian-controlled Kashmir. Several other protesters were injured when Indian forces opened fire on them. The deaths bring to 69 the number of protesters killed by Indian troops in 3 months of unrest in the region. The protests began after Indian troops shot and killed a Kashmiri schoolboy in early June. India has imposed curfews across the Kashmir Valley to control the situation, but the demonstrators are defying the curfews. The protesters want independence from New Delhi.
Pakistan has once again been hit by a series of bombings. Two small bombs have gone off in the eastern city of Lahore, near Pakistan's border with India. One of the explosive devices was planted underneath the car of a police official. No casualties have been reported from the two attacks. And in the northwestern city of Peshawar, another bomb has gone off, injuring one person. Only hours earlier, 19 people were killed in an attack on a police station in the city. No group or individual has claimed responsibility for the bombings so far.
Well, staying with Pakistan now, at least 5 people have been killed by a U.S. drone attack in northwestern Pakistan. The unmanned plane fired 2 missiles at a vehicle in the North Waziristan Agency. Officials in the area say several others have been wounded in the attack. The vehicle was destroyed in the attack. The United States claims its drone attacks target militants, but it's mainly civilians who bear the brunt. Islamabad has repeatedly condemned the strike. Islamabad says the attacks are in clear violation of Pakistan's sovereignty.
The IAEA has released its latest report on Iran's nuclear energy program. The report once again confirms that all declared nuclear material in Iran is solely used for civilian purposes. This is while Iran's ambassador to the UN agency has criticized the document for going into extensive detail. Press TV's Eva Manasieva has more from Vienna.
In his latest report, the IAEA Director General Yuki Amano once again confirmed diversion of declared nuclear material in Iran. The 11-page document, however, says Iran must increase its cooperation with the agency even more so that it can verify the peaceful nature of the country's nuclear activities. Iran says it already cooperates way beyond its legal obligations.
We are not going to fulfill the expectation which is beyond our legal obligation. We cannot, go ahead and continue to give information requested which is related to our national.
Ambassador Soltanieh also told Press TV that the report is unbalanced, and by quoting the resolution of the United Nations Security Council, the agency damages the technical nature of its work. In this relation, Iran is preparing to protest to the IAEA Director General that the agency is not a subsidiary body of the UN Security Council and should stick to its mandate as a technical organization.
In order to be a balanced report, agency has to reflect the views expressed by Iran, explanations that Iran has given.
The report also refers once again to the alleged military dimension of Iran's nuclear program, saying Tehran still has to answer outstanding questions. The allegations that there is a military aspect of Iran's nuclear program were raised by the former Bush administration in 2008 on the basis of documents that were never presented to Iran, despite repeated requests both by Tehran and by the former IAEA Director General Mohammad El-Bardeh. Ambassador Soltanieh further said the report showed once again that all nuclear activities in Iran are fully under IAEA safeguards, a view also shared by analysts.
There is things changing slowly, and there is some relief in this crisis for Iran by Turkey's and Brazil's move, but this IAEA report has not too much to do with it. This is just a repetition of things we already know.
The report, which has been circulated to the Board of Governors, the decision-making body of the nuclear agency, will be in the spotlight of the regular meeting of the board starting on the 13th of September. Iran is a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and has all its nuclear activities under constant IAEA supervision. So the stage is set once again for the forthcoming meeting of the IAEA Board of Governors. But this time, besides Iran and Syria, the 35-member board is expected to pay special attention also to Israel in an attempt to persuade Tel Aviv to sign the NPT and open its secretive nuclear program to international inspections. Eva Manasieva, Press TV from the United Nations in Vienna.
You're watching World News here on Press TV. It's time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. The U.S. president announces a $50 billion job plan.
So the problems facing working families, they're nothing new. But they are more serious than ever.
The Palestinian Authority reiterates that it will quit U.S.-sponsored talks with Israel if Tel Aviv continues to build more settlements. And India kills four more protesters in Kashmir amid growing demonstrations.
And just ahead here on Press TV, wildfires in Russia. America's top military commander in Afghanistan has denounced the U.S. church's plan to burn Qurans on September 11. General David Petraeus has told the Wall Street Journal that the move will drum up anger against U.S. troops and endanger their lives in Afghanistan. He also says the plan will be used by the Taliban to boost their image. There have been daily demonstrations against the church's plan in Afghanistan since Friday. The Florida-based congregation says it will burn copies of the Holy Quran on church grounds to mark the 9th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. The pastor of the church, Terry Jones, distributed T-shirts bearing anti-Islamic slogans last year.